Acts chapter 2, also Philippians chapter 4. It's great to see everyone here today in our family Sunday with all the kids included and visitors. We have some guests. Welcome today to our service as well. We're going to learn about learning from God or learning about God and also listening. We could almost subtitle the message, How to Listen. Parents, it could be how to get your kids to listen is something that we'll look at very practically near the end of the service here this morning. Acts chapter 2, we'll read verse 37 in just a moment, also Philippians chapter 4. Sight and sound. Have some of you been to Sight and Sound? I know several of you have been to Sight and Sound. And the Sight and Sound production, Samson, we have a DVD of that. And Samson is singing about being called by God. And he was kind of wrestling with being called by the Lord to serve. And one of his buddies is there. They kind of sing back and forth. It's a rather fun and dynamic song, the way they go back and forth like this. And Samson, you were born for greatness. I can see it in your eyes. And then Samson replies by something like this. For now, just let me be young and strong and free. Now let me be and have a simple life. He sings about just living a simple life and make things really easy. And as a boy, he goes on to sing, I dreamed of a simple life, plant good food and have a gorgeous wife. Why can't I choose? He's asking the question. He's singing back and forth. Very, very thoughtful and fun song. So our 8-year-old son is singing this one portion of the song. And he gets to the point where Samson is singing about why can't I have a simple life, and he changes some of the words, and he's not trying to be derogatory in any way, but he's just thinking about like an 8-year-old boy. He don't care about having a gorgeous wife. He'd rather something else. And so at that point in the song, he sings, why can't I just have a simple life, plant good food, and have a gorgeous dog? Oh, I like his thoughts there. We all like our dogs and our animals, and I'm an animal person myself. Our family is as well. I try not to say I love my dog, but I do like my dog. I want to save love for God and love for people. Can't really replace that, be on a different level there. So I like our dogs. We have some dogs. Many of you have dogs as well. I read about newlyweds today that now have prenuptial agreements before they get married about who owns the dog in case they choose for it not to work out. Can you believe that? Prenuptial agreements about the dog? Many people love their animals, and so we understand that to a degree. Many people, however, spend more time training their dogs than they take time to train their own kids. Now, we want our dogs to listen to us. As Americans, we want our dogs to listen. We'll pay people money to train our dogs to listen to us. You know, come and sit, sit, shake, roll over. There's obedience classes and things like this. But if you're a parent, it takes a lot more work for you to parent your kid than it should take for someone to train their dog. We let sometimes our dogs take control or our animals take control rather than having our kids be the ones that we're focused upon. Think about it this way. Let the dog run wild and let the kids listen to you. Instead of letting the kids run wild and the dog listen to you, let the kids come and listen to you and you let the dog run wild. Now, this message may be a help to you today. If you find yourself avoiding public places because you're afraid of how your kids will behave, then this message may be a help. If you find yourself only going to church when there's a kid activity going on, this message may be a help for you. If you avoid interacting with your kids and you let the television raise them, then this message is for you as well. One person said about listening, a good listener is not only popular everywhere, but after a while, he knows something. Listening is such a vital part of the human experience. Another person said, God has given man one tongue but two ears that we may hear twice as much as we speak. And certainly that's a good concept there as well. Kids, everyone, all the kids, look up here. All right, now your parents may have you doing different things like listening or coloring or doing whatever. If you listen well enough in our message, at the end of the message, I have a coin from the other side of the world. a coin from the other side of the world, and if you come up and talk to me afterwards, then if you can answer a question that I may give to you, then I'll give you this coin from the other side of the world. It's from the Philippines. It is a small little coin. Parents, if your kids are too small, I'll give it to you instead, but have them come up and talk to me anyway. We don't want anyone choking on their gift today. Learning from the Lord. There is no learning where there is no listening. If you take any academic classes or educational classes, one of the basic premises of communication or classroom structure is you can't teach someone that's not listening to you. They can't learn. There's no learning taking place if their mind's somewhere else or if they're talking or not paying attention. And so that's one of the basics there. Now, I understand learning styles vary from person to person, but the primary teaching and learning style is a didactic type lesson is given. There's sometimes a response included with that. Now, Christ used a lot of different means. I mean, he had parables. He used object lessons. You know, look at the river over here. Look at the sky. He would talk like that, even the bread, feeding of the 5,000. And he would use a lot of different things like that. And so, but primarily, he would talk to people, and they would listen, or if they're talking, they wouldn't be able to listen. He would use all these other things. Even when lessons are interactive, listening is required. You still have to have an attention span that's gained in those moments there. Now, it's impossible to teach someone who does not hear you. I encourage every parent, do your kids a favor, teach them to listen to you. Teach them to listen to you. You can go anywhere in the world today and find in public spaces kids that do not listen to their parents. They say it's time to go, and they wait another 2 hours because the kid says, no, it's not time to go. I'm not listening to my parents. You hear stuff like, you see that. And the kids are not under control. They're dogs. Now, if you go talk to their dogs, they don't talk back. They don't fight back because their dogs are under control. But our kids need to be where they can listen and respond as well. Now, before you think, well, this is just about kids and parenting, actually, this is about every human, that we could listen to God. If we can't hear one another, how can we listen to a God we don't see? The Lord even poses such a question to us as well. How can a child hear what God is saying if they cannot hear what you're saying directly to them, face to face, in person? Look in Acts 2:37. Here is a model of learning. You could call this a model of learning. Acts chapter 2 is an amazing chapter. Peter is preaching, and thousands of people trust Christ. This is called the Day of Pentecost, the message of Pentecost. He delivers a Bible message, and these people listen to it and respond. And notice what the crowd does in verse 37, because he's just speaking in a similar way to what we're doing here today. I would imagine it's outside, people are gathered all around, everyone's listening, it's like pin drop type silence so they could hear what he's saying, they're giving full attention. Now when they heard this, you may want to underline that word heard, they were pricked in their heart, that means their affection, their feeling was impacted, so heart's the next key word, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Do is the third key word there. What they heard and what they felt caused them to do something, and doing is one of those learning things as well. Learning domains. Have you heard of that? Learning domains, how people learn, is a good study. Acts 2:37 gives us a learning model of learning domains. And here it is on the screen. You can kind of see what it would look like. And notice that they heard. They heard. So then their heart was affected. They start to think about what was said, but they're feeling now with the heart. And then it becomes where they start to do. They're like, what can I really physically or literally do with what I'm learning about? So the heard is thinking. That's cognitive. It was all in the mind. Now, it's one thing to know about Jesus. It's another thing to actually love Jesus. Isn't that true? Okay, that all has to do with our learning. And so they heard, that's thinking, that's cognitive. And then they felt, and that's very affective. It starts to affect their heart. They heard something. They start to believe it now. They're starting to feel something about it. in their heart, and it causes them to do. That's psychomotor. So now their brain is causing their body and their mind and their voice to react or to respond to what they heard. And notice what happens in verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. One church service, 3,000 people trust Jesus, and you could just imagine how many hours or days would it take for them to baptize these people? They that was the doing. I believe this. It's real. I just trusted Jesus. I received him as my Savior. I know that he's my Savior and my God. So now I'm going to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Can I suggest this? If you've been saved, go ahead and follow the Lord in believer's baptism for yourself. It's one thing to know about it. It's one thing to have a love about it. But it's another thing to go ahead and just do what the Bible tells for us to do. Now, as we're listening today, we are hearing the Bible taught. It's increasing our thinking. We were just singing songs, and songs tend to be emotional. They tend to be affective towards us. Music affects our feelings. We also have already affected one another with our interaction and personal fellowship and shaking of hands and smiling and greeting, how you doing, and showing care and love for one another. All of these elements are involved in any singular church service is what I'm trying to say. Even the doing. Even the doing. Then we're called to do. We stand up. Sometimes we raise our hand in invitation. God's called me to this. He's challenged my heart. I want to change this area in my life with the grace of God. I'm going to follow Jesus. Whatever the decisions are, we volunteer our commitments, and then we get up, we stand up, and we leave with the intention, I'm going to live in a changed way that God has revealed to me in the preaching of the Scripture today. What we have seen and what we have heard. Now, Jesus was the master teacher. Think about Christ for a moment, the master teacher, the best example. If you want to be a good teacher, any teacher anywhere can look at Jesus to learn how to teach. An excellent teacher, the best of all time. But can I suggest to you that not all of his students heard what he said? Not all of his students learned what he was trying to convey. I mean, he even broke it down into parables so that people who were very simple in faith could start to see their faith develop and start to understand, and then he talked more directly to his disciples. I mean, he had all these different teaching ways that he went about it, and even some did not listen. So even the best teacher and the best teaching methods that you may have, really, it all falls back on, will the student listen? One of the teaching challenges is, will my students listen? One of the challenges every parent must instill in their kids before they get to school is to teach them to listen. When they get to school, they should already know how to listen. They should already know how to respond and listen to authority and listen to instructions that are given. Neuropsychology is the study of the brain and how it learns. And God's already told us so much in the Bible about learning. Notice this chart, if you would, that at the bottom part there, receiving. So audiovisual, listening, seeing, reading, lecture style, you may retain about 20%. So some of you will say at the end of the service, and I'm not saying you need to say this or anything, but, oh, great message, you know, that's good. You know, say more meaningful things than that. It'd be all right. But great message, you know. But then 20 minutes later, you know, what was the preacher talking about today? You know, I guarantee it probably will happen. What was he talking about? Learning. He was talking about learning today, learning styles. And okay, so you'll forget about it. Now, when it gets to participation, and this is why we really emphasize our Sunday schools, there's more interaction, the Awana, our adult Bible studies at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, there's more discussion, there's more discourse taking place, there's more cause and effect or message and reply, things like that. That's taking place. And so you'll probably forget 20 to 75%. So that's a little bit better because it's a little bit more interactive. But then studies suggest this, learning by doing, and I'm going to show you a verse about doing here in just a moment. Learning by doing, so maybe you work with a coach, you're immediately practicing. You've heard people say, you know, you don't learn something until you do it 20 times or 40 times in a row, something like that. So it's the doing then. It's the doing. So you may retain 75% of what you do. It's really more ingrained into your memory. Three learning and teaching methods are found in Philippians chapter 4. So let's turn back to this passage. I think we understand the learning domains from Acts chapter 2. But let's look at now this verse here in Philippians chapter 4. Now verse 8 and 9 are terrific verses. Let's begin reading verse 7. I love these verses. Philippians is a great book. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, you may want to underline the word think. It means take an inventory. You do a self-assessment in your life that you have these things that you're thinking about on a daily basis. He says, I want you to know how to think. Then verse 9, those things, now he just mentioned things, those things which ye have both learned and received, how did he learn and receive them? And heard and seen in me, what's the next word? Class, what's the next word? Do. Can you say that with me? Next word is do. He says, do those things. And here's the result of that. The God of peace shall be with you. You know, a lot of people are looking for peace today. They're looking in all the wrong places. Jesus is peace personified. And you can have peace in your heart and life. And then as a Christian, you can experience, you can know, you can taste that peace on a daily basis. If you're not listening to God, if you're not applying what you know God has in your life, then there's going to be a lack of peace because you're rebelling or walking against the teaching of Scripture. From this verse, could I suggest to you today that true learning is when you internalize the lesson and live it each day. True learning is just living it. It's just doing it. That's when true learning has taken place. You could say that Paul is saying, if you've really got this, if you really have learned this, then do what you have said that you believe. That's really proof that you've learned it, that you can know it. Now, look at the verse once again, if you would. There's a command. He says, those things. So you take those things, and then there's a topic that you have learned, and another topic, received, another topic, things that you've heard, another topic that you've seen in me, and then at the very end, there's another command. You take those things and do. The subsequent feature then, or the benefit or blessing is, then you'll have that peace of God in your life. If you've really learned it, do it. Those things, do. Do those things. Now, learned means learning in any capacity. The word received here is the word paralambano. Para means to come alongside of. So paraclete for Holy Spirit to come alongside. Para, come alongside. So I've received it. I've received it near. I'm associating it to myself. This teaching is near and dear to me. I've received it. It's right alongside with me. I've taken it to myself. And now then, we have the three primary learning methods that we employ. To hear. Heard is the word here. To hear, it means give audience to the ears. Give audience to the ears. Next is the word seen, so visual. And finally, the word do, it's the word which means practice, to perform repeatedly or habitually. The word do here is the word proso, like process or practice, and it doesn't mean just one time. It means many times, multiple times. Repeat. That's what it means. So keep practicing. So let's learn the Bible to the point where we are doing it, where we are practicing it each and every day. So let's take a cognitive spiritual inventory from verses 8 and verse 9 in particular. Let's notice the first point here this morning is to hear the Scripture. This is audible. Right now, if you are blessed with hearing or with assisted hearing, you have some capability, you are listening to what's being said, here this morning. Hearing the Bible read. What is hearing? So hearing the Bible read. I want to hear from God. You could do your own Bible reading it aloud. You have audio editions. Maybe you have an audio disc or MP3s of the Bible being read. You want to hear the Bible being read. Hear the Bible being taught, and we have our Sunday school and our Connect classes. We have our small group Bible studies that happen occasionally here at the church. And I hope that you engage in these things, so that you hear the Bible. Hearing the Bible preached, that's what's happening right now. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So you're hearing it right now, that will only increase your faith. Now, we say that, but sometimes we forget what other verses tell us about the same thing. You see, hearing the Bible preached will increase our faith, it will further our walk. But Hebrews 4:2 also says, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. So the gospel came to us, and it was preached to us, it was also preached to them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So you can hear the Bible preached, but if you have no level of faith, like I don't believe that's God's word, or I don't really want to hear from God, if you have that mindset, it may not do that much for you, because Paul was saying, well, it didn't do anything for them. Here's the reason why. They didn't have any faith when they heard it. When you come to church, when you open your Bible, you must open it up and say, I believe this book is God's word, and I'm going to learn something from it. If you come to church and say, well, I hope the preacher gives a good joke and tells a good story today, you won't get anything that's meaningful and long-lasting out of it. If you think, well, it's just a little bit of good stories from the Bible, then it's not going to have a lasting impact on you. You have to have some faith. Believe God's word. So mix every time you hear the Bible with faith. Believe God. Believe God's word, and you will learn it. When you're teaching your kids, and in our kids' life, in our Awana, and in our Sunday schools every week, we talk about this is God's word. What does the Bible say in it? What does the Bible say? That's what we believe. And people all around the world say, don't believe the Bible. We want our kids to believe this book is God's word. And it's God's message to us. So you want to make sure you really overemphasize that in your teaching of your kids. So hear the scripture. You got to hear it. Hear it. Next, number two, then, see the scripture. See the scripture that's visual. He says, the things that you have seen in me. Do you have good examples? Now, there are Bible examples that we should have. We should look at the words, actual words on the page of scripture. So that's kind of visual. But he says, seen in me by way of example that you saw lived out in my life. Paul said, what you saw in me, that's what I want you to be able to eventually do in your life, to see the scripture. Romans 15 verse 4 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. So before the New Testament is the Old Testament, and you have all these Old Testament Bible characters, a lot of narrative all throughout the Old Testament, and they're given to us for examples of what to do and what not to do, of how to have faith and show faith, and how not to let fear and worry and anxiety and all those things crowd out faith that we may have. And so see the scripture, look at examples, look at the Bible examples, look at present day examples. Now, when I say that, no person is perfect. No person is perfect. But we can have good examples before us. No mentor is perfect. The person who discipled you is not perfect. Do not think that people at the Wilton Baptist Church are perfect people, especially if, well, they have their tie and their suit coats, and they've got their hair all done really good. They must be perfect people over there. No, that's all superficial stuff, and we can't judge an accurate judgment based on the outside. The Bible tells us that so many times. So we can't base a person's character just because of how they look. And don't think that people are so perfect that you can't learn from them or don't want to be around them because I'll never measure up. Don't think like that. You know, here's what we do sometimes. We judge other people. We put down people that we think are better. We elevate that are not better than us. We think we're better than them. We put them down. And then we elevate people and put them up where we can't learn from them. And here's the problem with that. Both are extremes that are wrong in Scripture. We should have examples, but they're not perfect people. I've heard people say, well, you know, those church people, they're so perfect, I can't be like them, so I just won't go to church anymore. That's wrong thinking. That's so wrong. We should always mentor up. Mentor up. So find someone. They don't have to dress the part. They need to live the part. Find someone who's living the part. They're living the Christian life. And you model up. You use them as a good example. I love it. We talk to our kids sometimes about examples, about people in church. Oh, this is a good example. She's a good example of that. He's a good example of this. That's the way to be. You know, how they acted or what they did in that circumstance. That was great. That was beautiful. And we use that as good examples to show. And, you know, there always could be those bad examples as well. You don't want to be a bad example. Now, when it comes to your kids, parents, you show your kids a good example. What you see in me, do. He says, look at my life. Now, that brings us to the do in this verse. The last word, he says, just do it. Tactile, psychomotor, we could use those terms for the domains that of teaching or learning. But just do the Scripture. You may forget what you hear. You'll forget a lot of what I say today. You may forget what you talk about. Well, I talked to somebody in the hall, you know, they told me this, I learned something in class. What did they say? I forget. What was they saying in class? I forget. You may forget that. But when you get to actually doing and you do it habitually, it's like rote memory. I'm going to live the Christian life. I'm going to be who God wants me to be. You're less likely to forget that. My dad was always teaching us how to do stuff by just doing it. Like, hey, let's build something. So we'd build something. Let's make something. Let's make something. Let's mow the lawn. Let's mow the lawn. Here's how you do all this stuff. Let's change the oil. Let's work on the brakes. Let's do all by doing, okay? And those things have made a big difference in my life because, you know, I can swing a hammer and drive a nail and put a screw in. And how good of a building things are, that's to be debated. But I could do some stuff. Because we did it. We did it. And I haven't forgotten how to swing a hammer or do some of those things. So do is a word for practice. Not just a one-time thing, but repeatedly and habitually. And the reason I mentioned my dad is whether we were pouring concrete or whatever we were doing, he would say, monkey see, monkey do. So, you know, I just go, no, I'm kidding, scratch. What he meant was, you mirror what I'm doing. If I'm holding the float for concrete like this, you hold the float the same way. So I had to study him. I had to study, how's he doing this? You see, that's a good example. You could teach your kids like that. They're less likely to forget. Now, when we're talking about physical things, that makes it a lot easier, but even in other practical ways, here's how we wash the dishes. Here's how we conduct ourselves. Here's how we speak. Here's how we And you just fill in the blank with whatever it is. Have you noticed this, that many converts will try Christianity out for a while? They'll hear the message. They'll interact with Christians. They'll talk back and forth, you know, interactive. But they don't really do habitually the Christian life. They don't really live for years on end. They try it for just a short few weeks or months. You know, those people almost always fall away. Almost always fall away. They'll drift in. Shake your hand, listen to a class maybe a few classes, but they don't really start to do the Christian life. They don't live following the Bible examples like what we've been talking about, and they fade away. They drift away. They haven't had an in-depth experience with true Bible Christianity. So what do? We do make time for God. What is the do that Paul's talking about? Well, he had all these examples, the peace of God, the things that you're to be thinking about, verse 8, all of the book of Philippians. You could just outline the whole thing. We could read all of it later on today to understand the do. What should we do? The Christian life that Paul was demonstrating to them and what we're to demonstrate one to another. So do take time or make time for God. I'm going to show love and service to Jesus Christ. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do for others with making time for God, also with devotion and time, but then making time for others with love and service. And just a few days ago, we ended our 90-day serving revolution resolution. And I'm hoping to get more feedback and more testimonies about how God used that in your life and what that did for your family and for other people that you were able to serve. So bring some of those testimonies later tonight. Send me an email with others if you want. You could post some of those on Facebook as well. I'd like to know how God changed your life through that. But we have love and service. We have ministry to one another. Even just being there. I don't know what to say. You know, if I made a visit to somebody that was on their deathbed, I don't know what to say. You don't have to say anything. Just being there, being available makes a big difference. So I'm going to be there to serve others. And then make God's word the priority. Just make God's word the priority. Do the scripture. Learn to listen to God. And it will result in verse 8, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So you have these things here, but then also the end of verse 9, and the God of peace shall be with you. You'll have that peace. You'll know these things of verse 8, to be truthful, to have honesty, to have purity, to whatever things are lovely and of good report, if it's virtuous, if it's praiseworthy. You'll experience these things because you're thinking them through and you are basically doing what you have learned, and that doing is part of learning, which reinforces everything that you've heard and seen. Isn't this an interesting study? I mean, we could talk, there's other verses about how we learn and how we can learn from God. And so do make time for others, do make time for God, do make time for God's word, make it the priority. Teaching your kids to listen will help you, it will help them, it'll help them hear from God when God's word is speaking to them. You want your kid to love Jesus? You want your kid to love the Lord and live their life for Him? Absolutely. Then you teach them to listen to God, and the primary way you begin that is to teach them to listen to you. Listening to God starts with listening to people, and for the parents of young ones, parents in particular. Learning from God starts with learning from people. You know, ages 2 through 5 are probably the most critical years in teaching anybody how to listen. You mean really young like that? Absolutely. It's a lot better time to train them to listen right then. And so do your kids a favor. Teach them how to listen. Think about what Jesus said. 8 times he said this direct quote. Matthew 11:15 is an example of it. He said, "He that hath ears to hear," what's the rest of it? Let him hear. On this family Sunday, we wanted to start out with, we need our kids to be able to hear God, so they must be able to hear us. So kids, look up. All the big kids can look up as well. Look at this owl. Isn't this owl kind of an interesting-looking bird? Anyone know what kind of... Let's have some interaction now. This is the second part of our learning domains. What kind of owl is this? It's a barn owl. Okay. All right, that's exactly it. Did you know that the barn owl has some of the best hearing, such sensitive hearing, more than the human? We learn, or hear rather, about 0.5 to 10 kilohertz, but a barn owl has sensitivity up to 7 kilohertz, even more, 7 times or 7 more than most humans. They listen really good. So we want to be like the owl. Kids, you want to be like the owl. When your mom or dad speak, listen up. When you hear someone talking, listen up. Now here's some practical ideas. Here's where all the teaching becomes more practical today. Here's some ideas for you. I encourage you, parents, eat dinner together at the table. That really helps with being able to converse and talk. Another practical idea, read a verse or two together and pray with their full attention. Now, depending on how old they are, you don't want to read Genesis 1 through 39 all in one sitting. Read just a few verses together, you know, depending on their age, and you could talk about it. And make sure that they're listening while you are doing that. You could point out, you know, as you're reading, let's read out. And don't you do this when they're young anyway, reading other books? You know, let's learn how to read, you know, and you're doing that. You could do that with the Bible as well. Next, spend quality time and quantity time together doing stuff, projects, work around the house, games, throwing a ball. You know, if you're throwing a ball, they've got to pay attention. Or, oh, it hit me in the head, you know. It seems so simple, but we've got to do these things together. Have Christian music playing in the home. Audio dramas could be playing. In car rides, have music or audio dramas that are playing, Christian audio dramas, and then that fine tunes they're hearing. They got to hear to know what the story is, what's happening in the story. Even at bedtime, you can have the same things played. Involve your kids in conversations. Here's a really practical suggestion. Don't talk above your kids. Don't talk below your kids. Why not talk to your kids? Okay, I'm trying to look at everybody in the face. Why don't you talk to your kids? Not above them or below them, but just directly to them. Don't let your kids talk to you and you talk with them with a phone stuck in your face. Because if you want them to listen to you, go ahead and look at them when they're talking to you instead of looking at the phone in your face. It's okay to set it to the side and have a conversation. So go ahead and do that. If you give attention, they will learn how to give attention to you. Another one, and it goes along with discipline as well, do not discipline with fake threats. Sometimes you'll say something that you would or could not do. So in other words, don't devalue your words. If you say that, I'm going to wash your mouth out with soap. Okay, have you or will you really do that? Probably not. Maybe you would. Some of you would. I'm kidding. What you just think of something that's really outlandish that you've said, and you go back and you think, oh, I wouldn't do that. You know, we're going to leave in 5 minutes. If you say, I'm going to leave in 5 minutes, and then they don't listen to you, and you do that habitually, then you know who really the boss is of your home. It's not you, and it should be the other way around. You should say, we're leaving now, and everybody gets ready when we go. But if you say 5 minutes, you're actually teaching them that they don't have to listen to you and they can call the shots in your house. I'm going to talk about who's, it's not the dictatorial type thing, it's not what we're talking about today, but you get the idea. You're teaching them to do whatever they want then instead of listening to you. So there should be a real cause and effect that they can catch, just like you would teaching your dog. There's positive and negatives based to every response that I have. Next then, ensure healthy routines. Proper rest always helps. If you want your kids to listen for church, Sunday school, Bible study, and Sunday morning, then you don't want to be out to 10 o'clock at night on Saturday night. You want to get to bed a little bit earlier than that. And make sure you have good routines and get proper rest. We could just say this, all this summarizes what I've just said to you, is do not allow inattention. Do not allow inattention. And you want to do what you can smartly and biblically that you could do that. And so our message, how to get your kids to listen, or rather how to listen to God, how to learn from God. I hope it's been a help. Let's take just a moment and pray and speak to the Lord about listening to Him. Maybe there's a friend here you've never trusted Christ and you heard about Jesus and His love for you. Then why not believe in Christ today and receive Him as your personal Savior today and become a Christian. I'll stop talking here for just a moment, and you go ahead and pray and ask the Lord to help you with the decisions in your life about listening to God for yourself and also making an optimal attempt for your kids to listen to you so that they can listen to God. The pianist may softly play, and then we'll continue our service in just a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Bible telling us something that we need to know. And what people seem to just be discovering today is how we can learn. Lord, we thank you for the different learning styles, the different ways that Jesus taught. And help us to be smart and to be wise in how we teach our kids and how we ourselves choose to listen to you. Help every Christian here to learn from you more so that we become more like Jesus each day. Help us as parents to be wise in what we're teaching our kids, both with our attempts at teaching them, also what they learn from us just out of habits that they see in us. And so help us to be good examples, and bless each parent today as well. Thank you for what you've taught us today, and help us all to be good listeners to Jesus Christ and good learners of the Bible. Now as we pause to remember the sacrifice of Christ, Lord, we pray that you'll bless this Lord's Supper and communion time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.